Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Rothman.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
He is set. He is brought down by Kiko Alonso. And there's your ball game.
It's showtime. It's go time.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
10-yard line, 5, into the end zone. Touchdown, Leonis, my man!
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football. Right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills. Back in Orchard Park, back at One Bills Drive for tonight's show. We're going to be talking with Sal Capaccio coming up in just a few minutes on the show. Coming up at 7:30, Chris McCannister, former Pro Bowl cornerback. He won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens, and he's been in camp with the Bills as a coaching intern for the last month or so. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Steve Tasker, Bills special teams ace. He'll be calling the game on television tomorrow night, the Bills and the Bucks. And at 8:30, Andy Major of the Bills front office talks about a review of the policies and procedures for fans in Ralph Wilson Stadium.
This is pandemonium.
At the 10, at the 5, heads to the end zone. Touchdown, C.J. Spiller.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Yeah, we're live. We are live once again at One Bills Drive. We are back here. We haven't been here in 10 days. We have not done a show here in a week and a half, but we're in our little studio slash cubbyhole in One Bills Drive for the duration. Thanks for tuning in tonight. We're pretty excited here. It's a good day to be out here in One Bills Drive today. It's a great day, the eve of the first preseason game. And we're looking, I can't recall the last time I've looked forward to a preseason game as much as I'm looking forward to tomorrow's night. Why? You know why? Because of the stadium. It's unbelievable. I spent some time over there today. I'll tell you about it in a minute. Welcome to the show. We're here until 9 o'clock tonight. The phone lines are open. Anything you'd like to talk about is open for discussion. 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Training camp is over, although the Bills remain back there tonight. Rather than check into a hotel here with their usual night before the game routine, they decided to stay in the dorms at Fisher one more night. Then they'll head up here tomorrow and go through their normal game day routine. The Bills getting set to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tomorrow. So that's where the team is at. Quiet day, walkthrough, day before the game walkthrough, meeting time tonight. Last minute preparations for the game against Tampa Bay as they go through the routine a little bit. And then tomorrow, as we said, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 4:30 kickoff at Ralph Wilson Stadium. Training camp comes to an end. And what we'd like to talk to you tonight is about this Bills training camp. What did you think? Who was the most valuable player of training camp this year for the Buffalo Bills? Who is the most valuable player? Who is the best player over these last 5 weeks at St. John Fisher College? That's one. Who is the most improved player at St. John Fisher over these last 5 weeks? Who got better over a five-week period and maybe making a strong bid for a roster spot? And lastly, your thoughts about tomorrow night's game, what you'd like to see, what are you hoping to see from the Bills in tomorrow night's game, all of that on the table, or whatever you'd like to talk about. The phone line's open, 803-0550 is the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter also, at John Murphy Show. Who's the most valuable player at Bills training camp, for whatever that's worth? Who's the most improved player at Bills training camp? And what are you looking for tomorrow night? What's important to you tomorrow night when the Bills take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? 803-0550, the number, or if you're outside Buffalo, outside the 716, it's a toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. Most valuable player? My most valuable player? I thought about a lot of guys, really. Early on, I would have said Sammy Watkins. He was dazzling people early on with some of the catches he was making, some of the plays he was making. Sammy would have been my choice early on. Of course, he's missed the last couple of days with that rib injury that he suffered on last Saturday night. Later on, I thought Mike Williams may become the most valuable player of training camp. And it's kind of following the script as I thought it might. He's not going to make 8, 10, 12 catches a game, unlikely, but the catches he makes are going to be big ones. Red zone catches, first down catches, catches in traffic, catches in tight corners. I think that's what Mike Williams is all about. And I thought he became a very, very valuable part of the offense as camp went along. I really do. I thought Robert Woods had a very good camp for the Buffalo Bills in a battle for playing time with the wide open battle with Chris Hogan for the slot receiver point, and that will part, and that will continue tomorrow night again. But my most valuable player at training camp comes on the defensive side of the ball. The defense got off to a good start for the Bills in training camp in the practices, continued it through the three preseason games. I'm going with Jerry Hughes, pass rush specialist coming off the edge. Jerry Hughes found his niche, found his role at the defensive end spot compared to where he was last year. If you heard him on the show with us the other night, he said it's really not that much different from what he was doing before last year in a different style of defense. Jerry Hughes, my most valuable player of this Bills training camp so far. But give it your thoughts. Who's your most valuable player? 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Producer Jay Harris, would you like to weigh in, your most valuable player in Bills training camp so far this year? What do you think?
Well, I guess you can kind of mold it in with unsung hero or somebody that's made a lot of strides. But Central Henderson, for me, is just the whole scenario behind him and coming in, you know, seventh round pick, although we've heard numerous times about the talent he has. But I just think going in there and being able to jump right in with the starting unit, with an offensive line that we saw a lot of shuffling, but it's kind of held his own, is impressive to me.
I like that. Chantrell Henderson, I like that. He would be your most valuable player. Most improved player. A lot of candidates here. I got Chris Hogan on my list. His upward trend, I think, started in the OTAs and minicamp. I think T.J. Graham had a very good training camp for the Bills, believe it or not. And those who had written him off earlier on may have to reconsider based on what he's done. He's trying to do something in the return game, too, to solidify a roster spot. T.J. Graham, I think, would be a candidate for most improved. Landon Cohen, who we knew virtually nothing about when the Bills signed on July 21st, improved from what? Over a guy we didn't know anything about. I'm going to go with T.J. Graham as my most improved player over the 5 weeks of training camp. As I said, I think he's toughed it out. He knows the pressure's on, and he's responded. I wasn't sure what might happen with T.J. Graham, but he has responded, which is not to say he's got it made or he's got his role locked up. He doesn't. He probably knows that. But I think T.J. Graham would be my most improved player over the 5 weeks of training camp. Jay Harris, you've been there almost every day. Do you care to weigh in on that one?
Sure, John, why not? Most improved player, if I had to pick a player, maybe Jeff Toole. But I want to go with the unit and just talk to the improvement of the run defense that we've seen so far throughout the preseason. I think that's something that was a major issue, and we were looking for signs of improvement, and I think we saw that throughout the at least the first couple preseason games. And you know, it's hard to gauge in camp, but I thought that's what I've seen so far.
All right, I got you there. And lastly, what are you looking for in tomorrow night's game? What is it you'd like to see the Bills accomplish in tomorrow night's game? It is traditionally the game where the starters play longer. We anticipate the starters will be in first half, maybe a little bit into the third quarter as well. So it'll probably be your best assessment time for this Buffalo Bills roster, what they look like. What do you think? What are you looking for? I know what I'm looking for. Everybody's looking for the offense to get in the end zone. I am too. I think that would be big. It's important for confidence sake for the first team offense to get into the end zone. They can move the ball. We've seen that. Long time-consuming drives. They have not finished. The first team has not finished down near the goal line for a variety of reasons. They're not making plays, number one. Number two, they're not game planning. They don't have I doubt they have a game plan package in for goal line and red zone against the Tampa Bay Bucks or the Giants or the Panthers or the Steelers before that. So there's that. But I think more than that, I'm kind of focusing on roster battles in this second to last preseason game. I'm focusing on a couple of in roster and playing time battles. For one, I want to see what this revamped offensive line looks like. I like what they look like at practice this week with Henderson now installed at right tackle, with Eric Pierce at right guard, Wood at center, with Chris Williams at left guard, and with Cordy Glenn back at left tackle. I like what they look like. I want to see how they look like in a game situation. That would be at or near the top of my list. I want to see potential replacements for Nigel Bradham emerge in this game, whether it's the rookie, Preston Brown, who might get some playing time out there in the weak side as well as in the middle linebacker spot, or maybe Ty Powell getting some playing time over there. I want to see some of that linebacker depth build up in this game. Those would be my two things to look at. Give us your thoughts. What are you looking at in the game tomorrow night? The Bills and the Bucks tomorrow afternoon, 4:30 kickoff. Our pregame coverage starts on this and many stations at 1 p.m. tomorrow. The Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, second to last preseason game. But your thoughts on camp MVP, camp most improved player, and what are you looking for tomorrow afternoon from the Buffalo Bills against Tampa Bay? 803-0550, the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. We'll start with a call from Las Vegas. Jeff in Las Vegas. Hello, Jeff. You're on the air.
Call, Murph.
Sure.
I think my camp MVP is Nigel Bradham. When Alonzo went down, it was like, we're screwed. We'll never be able to fill in. And he's got such great athleticism. Finally, it's come through. And he's not Nigel. He's not Kiko Alonzo, but I think he's going to be a really, really good fill-in.
And you got him as your most valuable player or most improved. Which are you saying?
Improved.
Yeah, I can go along with that. I can definitely go along with that. You know, I think like most players, it takes a little developmental time. And he took it. You know, he's in his third year. He got significant playing time over the first few years of his career. But now they need him. You know, they didn't really need Nigel Bradham to do a whole lot the last couple of years. Now they definitely need him. And it's good to see him step up. I think he's done a pretty good job. So I like that. Nigel Bradham is the most improved player on the Buffalo Bills roster. Mark in Jersey City. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
John, I think Robert Woods has really stepped up, and especially since Malone had a talk with him in the games, in the practices, and just, you know, them bringing in Mike Williams, getting rid of Stevie, and drafting Watkins. He's really, like, kind of like, I don't know if he's taking it personal, but he looks like he's playing angry, which is nice. And I also wanted to ask if you've seen the renovations at the Fieldhouse, and if so, the locker room and the weight room, what you think of them.
Yeah, okay. Let me start with, Robert Woods. I like that. And Robert Woods is in the midst of a battle for significant playing time now. I mean, I think for him it comes down to the slot receiver job, and he and Chris Hogan are vying for it, and I think it's going to be interesting to watch tomorrow night, especially maybe a little bit less so on Thursday against Detroit. But I like the way Robert Woods has responded, and you're right. He was pushed by the head coach, told, here's the role we want you to play in. Are you ready for it? And I think Robert Woods, leading receiver, has done everything he can to get ready for that role. So I like that a lot. Let's talk about the state of renovation. I guess the only place I have not seen is the new weight room. I didn't get there today, but I did here at the in the AdPro training complex, the administration building, and the practice locker room is complete. The equipment people are in there moving in right now. Spectacular. Just spectacular. I said to earlier on how our producer Jay Harris described it as the Jetsons living room. It does. I mean, it's like space age design. A room that's probably three times larger than the old locker room. It's got all sorts of recessed lighting. You know, it always kind of bothered me in the old locker room when you think about bringing in free agents. And they go in, not the game day locker room, which is over by the tunnel entrance to the stadium, but the practice locker room. It was very, very bare bones. Not a whole lot going on in there. And they've totally retrofitted the locker room, made it bigger, made it more spacious. There's all sorts of lounge and living areas. There's looks like a sink and a microwave and a kitchen and really a nice space for those players. And I think they can be proud to show that off when they're recruiting free agents in the future. So, I did get a look at that. Did not get a look at the weight room. I did get a look at parts of the stadium today. Not all of it, but just from the outside is really pretty cool. The paint scheme, the new color scheme on the outside, the brand new super gates are pretty unbelievable, well marked. I think it's going to be easier to find where you're going around the stadium. Last week I went through the concourse and saw the open air type concourses, the Coors Light, the sports bar at the one end of the stadium where the administration building is. That's pretty spectacular. The Bill store, I saw that last week. That is unbelievable. Just so much more space. You feel like you have elbow room in the stadium now. You're not closed in and confined in dark corridors and hallways and concourses. I mean, the gates have been pushed out so that you walk in and there's still room to maneuver before you actually go inside the stadium. Inside the stadium, spectacular. The great sight lines. It'd be tough to duplicate sight lines like that anywhere else in the NFL. And I took a look because of a vested interest. I took a look at the broadcast location, totally revamped. Our booth is in a better location, and it was always pretty good. Now we're at the 40-yard line towards the tunnel end with a little bit lower look at the field. And the windows are can be wide open like the way we like it, and interacting with fans, and just a great big radio booth that's going to be great to work out of, the television booth that is up there, the coaches' booths right at midfield. It's just a great working area. And then I did take a look at the working press, which is the old M&T Bank Club up in the corner of the stadium on near the administration building. And it's a pretty good look at the field for all the working press, the writing press. That's the trend around the National Football League. There are some places, I'm thinking primarily of you, FedEx Field in Washington, where the view of the field is a joke for the writers and the broadcasters, I might add. Absolute joke. FedEx Field is a disgrace. That team in Washington should be embarrassed, not just because of their nickname, but because of the accommodations they have for media people trying to do their job. But this one is in the corner, but it's a great look at the field. And there'll be complaints probably, but I think it's a great look at the field, much better than, say, New England and the new stadium in New England, Gillette Stadium, a much better look at the field. So, yeah, overall, just really cool. I think fans are going to like it a lot. And I know they're going to like the new concession stands, the new food options, the ability to move around a little bit. You're going to love the scoreboards, the video boards all over the inside bowl. Really, it looks like a new place, a 41-year-old stadium that once again has been remade. It's pretty spectacular. Can't wait till tomorrow. It's a 4:30 kickoff, the Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tomorrow at Ralph Wilson Stadium. We've got the call of the game on this station and many of the stations up and down the line, myself and Mark Kelso and this guy. He's going to join us now tomorrow and through the rest of the season as our new sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network. We welcome back to the airwaves Sal Capaccio. Coach Sal. Sal, congratulations. You're going to be with Mark and I, and we're going to start it off tomorrow. We're looking forward to it.
Oh, you don't know how much I'm looking forward to it, Murph. I wish the game was right now. I'm chomping at the bit. I want to head out to the stadium and get the kickoff, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be an awesome season, and obviously it all starts tomorrow night, so thank you very much.
Yeah, well, one of the things you can do tomorrow, just from your perch on the field, is take a look at the you know, the signage in the stadium, the scoreboard. You'll have a good look at the fans. You'll have that great sideline view of the game, but also a brand new stadium. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of color and excitement and things to talk about from down there in the sideline tomorrow.
Well, here's the thing. I have not been on one of these media tours or you know, anything else to actually take a look at. This will be my first time at the stadium tomorrow. And I've driven past, obviously, and I've seen some things, but any time that the media was able to go or things like that, I just wasn't able to for one reason or another. So it'll be my first time taking it in with so many Bills fans. So it's going to be great being able to kind of describe that for people on the air when I have those opportunities, because I'll be sharing in it my first time with so many, giving descriptions of what I'm seeing for the first time.
Yeah, you're going to love it, Sal. Sal Capaccio joins us. He's our new sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network starting tomorrow when the Bills play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hey, Sal, I know you're like me. You watch a lot of football. Do you have any favorite sideline reporters working either college or the NFL that you think do an exceptionally good job?
I do. You know what's funny is, and she was just kind of demoted. I'm a big Pam Oliver fan. I think Pam Oliver does a tremendous job. And I'm not saying that Erin Andrews doesn't do a good job. I think she does, but I thought it was a shame that Pam was demoted in that role, because to me she was always one of the most professional people to really do it and to come along in quite a while. She's very good at her craft, and I think I would say I'd put her right up there at the very top. It's funny, and I know that I think this day and age on TV, you know, women, it seems to be more of the sideline reporters, but I find to be the better sideline reporters to be women on TV, to be quite honest with you. I think that many of them are very dedicated at their craft, and I found myself enjoying things they have to say. And that goes for basketball, too.
Yeah.
I really like some of the work that the ladies do on the court as well. But I would say Pam Oliver's number one on my list. Unfortunately, she's not number one on Fox anymore.
Yeah. You know, my favorite is a woman, actually, is Michelle Tafoya on Sunday Night Football. Do you remember, Sal, a couple of years ago, I can't remember the player. There was a player whose brother had been murdered, and he was playing on Sunday Night Football. And Michelle Tafoya did an interview with him. I'm guessing it was post-game. That was just so perfect, and she just nailed it as far as the tone. And it wasn't too maudlin. It wasn't too, you know, tear-jerker. But she talked directly to the player about his brother had just been murdered, and he was still playing in the game, and how he felt. And I thought, she's the best. I think she's the absolute best sideline reporter maybe of all time. I think she's great.
The Ravens wide receiver,
yes.
Tory Jones, right?
Yes,
the name.
Exactly.
But that's who it was that they were talking about. And I agree with you. You know, I think that, you know, one of the things that obviously is the challenge for me in my first year doing this, but, you know, something that I think that I'll be able to do, and I hope I'm able to do, is really put those kinds of things into perspective when things happen. I think that there's a difference coming from the booth than coming from the sidelines. You have a few different responsibilities, and I think you have to know your place and know your role as far as the game and what you're looking at and what fans want. You know, Murph, you, as a play-by-play man, have to be very, very descriptive in all the things you're seeing around you, whereas I think, you know, Mark Kelso has to compliment you, and I think there I come in and compliment both of you guys from things on the field that maybe you can't quite see from where you are in the booth.
Yeah, and you know what helps? I mean, obviously you'll get injury updates for us. The one thing that I think adds a lot, Sal, being right there down there on the field, you will experience the emotion and the noise and the intensity that, quite frankly, doesn't always translate up to the radio booth where we are. You're going to be right in the maelstrom down there.
Well, I got to tell you a secret here on the air, and some people are going to think that I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs when I say this, and some people are going to understand when I say this. Now, I used to be a high school football coach. As you know, I coached for over a decade down in Florida,
yep.
Very high level of football, and
yep.
You know, it was very intense. You know, down there, they have stadiums that resemble college stadiums, and guys, you know, I've coached guys and against guys that are playing and have played in the NFL. But that said, I'm a competitor, Murph. I want to be around what you just described. So every Sunday, you know this, I would leave you from the press box before the game would start, and I would go and walk around the field. I would stand in the end zone where the Bills are warming up. I'd go down and stand in the end zone of the opponent. I need those juices to flow in me to get ready. For me, getting ready for a broadcast is similar to getting ready for a game. I need to have that action and those juices flowing. And I know some people think it's crazy, but that's my drug. That's really what gets me going.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, and we're really excited to have you as part of the broadcast. Now, here's the one thing you're going to have to be on the lookout for. Not tomorrow, okay. Sal, but as the season moves along, you're going to be the biggest fan of Saturday night weather forecasts of anybody. You know, seriously, you more than anybody else is going to know exactly what the weather's going to be at 1 o'clock on Sundays in Buffalo and in eight other cities around the National Football League.
That's because, Murph, let's remember that I'm also going to be the one that has to feel the brunt of that weather,
yes.
Okay? I will have to wear the parkas and the galoshes and things like that if I have to. So no problem. I got you covered. We'll have all the radio network across the network. We'll have everybody covered so they can know and feel exactly what it's like down in the field. But no doubt, I'm looking forward to that. And, of course, this time of year, it's a little bit hotter. It's going to be really nice, especially tomorrow, not too hot a time of day. But as you get a little bit later in the year, yep, I'm sure it's going to be a little colder. And then when we're in places like Denver, I mean, who knows what it's going to be like in Denver in December. Remember last year, it was like 70 degrees in January in the playoffs there.
Yeah. So last question, Sal. What are you looking forward to in tomorrow night's game? What are you looking forward to watching tomorrow night?
Well, first of all, I want to see the offense continue what they're doing. I think contrary to other belief, you know, they obviously haven't scored a touchdown, the first-team offense, but I thought they played pretty well the last couple of weeks, and I want to see them continue to do that. And what's interesting to me about this week is there's no Sammy Watkins, so I want to see what wide receiver steps up as far as reps are concerned and in what role. Is it Robert Woods, Chris Hogan? What are they going to do? And then that fight with T.J. Graham and Marcus Easley maybe for last wide receiver spot. I think if they are going to be, you know, one of those guys for the last spot, that's going to be really interesting to me. I'm not really necessarily watching for EJ. I think that I've seen enough of him, and he's going to be the starting quarterback no matter what. The other thing I'll tell you, and here's a tip for you, okay, everybody? Watch what guys are really the guys that they put on special teams throughout the game on all of those special teams units, meaning kickoff, kick return, punt, and punt return, because I believe, knowing coaches the way they think, those are the guys that are truly fighting for those last several spots. So if you want to know who's in a battle for those last roster spots, watch those special teams closely, and you'll be able to find out, judge by what personnel is on the field.
Yeah, good point. We'll check in with you on that tomorrow. Sal, we're really excited about having you on the broadcast tomorrow and throughout the season. Thanks very much for carving out a few minutes after a long day for you on the air already to come on the air tonight. Thank you.
No problem. And you know what? Thank you very much. Obviously, thanks to the Bills Radio Network and Mark Honan and you, Murph, and Entercom and everybody. It's going to be a great season. Looking forward to it, and thank you.
Thanks. Sal Capaccio, he's our new sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network. He'll be on the broadcast with us tomorrow when we broadcast the Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Again, that's a 4:30 kickoff, and the pregame coverage starts at 1 o'clock. It is Kids Day. Join Independent Health tomorrow for Bills Kids Day. Live music, carnival games, healthy activities, giveaways, and, of course, football. The Bills and the Bucks, 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. Well, all during training camp this year, the Bills have been coached along by a a guy who's a participant in the Bill Walsh Minority Coaching Fellowship Program. He is a familiar name. He played cornerback in the league for a long time, won a Super Bowl with the 2000 Baltimore Ravens, and is a multiple-time Pro Bowl performer. Chris McAllister is wrapping up his time with the Buffalo Bills as a extra defensive backs coach at training camp. We'll talk with him, a conversation we had earlier this week at training camp. That's coming up next. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from Bills Training Camp. And one of the guys who's been here at camp right from the start is not on the roster, really not on the coaching staff, but he is the Bill Walsh Minority Coaching Fellowship member on the Buffalo Bills coaching staff, former Baltimore Ravens cornerback Chris McAllister. Chris, thank you very much for coming by here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me about the process that got you here to this Bills camp this year.
It was a long process. Started last year, actually. Sent out a lot of emails, a lot of resumes, reached out to the coaches that I had relationships with, and ultimately that's how I ended up landing here, through Donnie Henderson.
Donnie Henderson has been here just for a couple of years, but I think most of us already know what a great job he does. You must feel like he was an important figure in your career as well.
He was. He was my coach for the first 5 years of my career out in Baltimore. Won a Super Bowl with him in 2000. And, I mean, he was the one who actually introduced me to the way the game is played at the NFL level.
What makes him such a good coach?
His attention to detail. I mean, he does it. Now that I've been here on the inside, I actually get to see how he comes to his methods. I mean, he's up late night hours. He's studying. He's watches a lot of film. And he's up early in the morning. He's like one of the first people in the building. And he's able to gather all that information and give it to his players to make them better.
What we see of him out here on the practice field from time to time is how vocal he can be. And he'll whistle to get somebody's attention, and then he's right in their face. Sometimes young players need that, I would think.
I think so. I mean, I think he has a good balance of letting guys know, it's like when they mess up, it's like it needs to get corrected. And sometimes it's vocal, sometimes he just has to point, and guys kind of get it.
Was he like that with you when you were a first-round pick, 10th overall, coming out of Arizona? I imagine he may have ridden you a little bit that first year.
I would say these guys have got it just a little bit easier.
Oh, really?
I was like, he was way – I don't know. I think over the years he has the same techniques in coaching. I was like, but – our first encounters, like, Donnie rode me hard, but I think he only rode me just because he wanted to get the best out of me.
He told us last week when we talked to him in Pittsburgh last week that as far as, you know, yelling at players, getting after players, he tells them, don't hear the volume, hear the message. Did he do that with you too?
Yeah, definitely. It's his way of coaching. It's his style of coaching. And I think a lot of players, after you get over hearing the volume, you see the underlying message. And at the end of the day, I mean, he's one of the best coaches at getting his point across.
Chris McAllister, our guest, the Bills Minority Coaching Fellow in camp this training camp. It's a long camp. We were talking before the interview started. I mean, we're into the fifth week of camp here right now.
Yeah, it's fun coaching. I've been here. I've had a great experience. Thank Coach Marone for giving me the opportunity also. But this is the longest camp I've ever been a part of. Normally it's been like 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, like when I was playing in Baltimore. But, you know, times change.
What do you do here as a fellow? I know you're working with defensive backs, but what exactly do you do?
Help with technique, more so than scheme of things, because the scheme is fairly new to me. But just try to help the guys recognize when their foot placement, their missteps may get them in trouble in their press technique, and just point out the little details.
And you're in the meetings at night with the coaching staff as well?
Oh, yeah. I'm here. I'm full on in coaching mode with them, like pulling these long hours. That's how I've seen the method to Donnie's madness.
And by the end of the week, when this camp wraps up and you're finished here, I wonder if you'll miss it, the total immersion into the Buffalo Bills.
You know, I will. I'm going to miss the guys. I've gotten close with some of the players. I'll be watching them. I've never been a Buffalo fan, but I'll be watching all their games this year just because I have had the opportunity to be a part of the staff.
We were talking to Donnie about this, how his group, and you know this group pretty well now too, the defensive backs, are young and maybe a little bit inexperienced, but it seemed very talented. There's some talent back there with guys like Gilmore and Liotis and Aaron Williams.
There are. I mean, after watching all of them this entire training camp and really having the chance to study them on tape, it's like they've done a great job of coming together as a unit. And I think with the leadership they have out there, with Aaron at the back, and then with Liotis, yep. It's like, and you have Gilmore, like those two are playing solid when they're both healthy, and I think Liotis will be ready for the season opener. these guys could do something special. It's like I think last year they had a great year. I was like, but I think this year they could be a lot better.
Chris, you're kind of a prototypical bigger corner. You played as a big corner, right? What's your height, weight, or when you played?
6'2", 210, 215.
And that was big. And when you came into the league in 1999, that was like almost outsized corner.
Yeah, they thought I was a safety at first.
Did they try to move you?
No, they never tried to move me. I mean, I was able to keep up with the little guys on the outside, so they left me out there.
Do you see any parallels in your size? And maybe Stephon Gilmore is not quite as big as you, but he is a kind of a bigger corner in the game these days.
I see, actually, you know, Stephon has a lot of great skills. And what he has that reminds me of myself is his ability to press, his ability to stay with the guy man-to-man. I might be an inch taller than him, but I think we're pretty much the same size.
The ability to press, it seems, becomes more important in the game where people kind of come around to the realization that disrupting timing is as good as running step for step with a guy downfield.
I think it's a lot better, in my opinion, because you can't touch the guys down the field anymore.
Yeah.
So the more you can disturb the timing of the route, the more the quarterback gets back there and he has to hold on to the ball, hitch, which allows your D-line to come in and make the sack.
When the corners get bigger, the receivers get bigger too. It's kind of like a chess game back and forth.
They haven't stopped growing. They're 6'5". Yeah. I think they've outgrown the DBs.
Well, what about that? How do you play that cat and mouse game? How do you kind of go back and forth? And at what point do we get, you know, tight ends versus linebackers out there?
You know, I have no idea. It's like just looking at Tampa Bay that's coming up, these guys are 6'5 and 6'4". It's like our DBs are 6'2 at best, and that might be no, Corey Graham is only 6 feet, so
yeah.
Stephon is only 6'1". So they're just going to have to play through the hands on deep balls and have better technique.
When you teach guys, you know, the press coverage to jam at the line of scrimmage, especially with the way the game's being officiated now, it seems like there's a fine line. You got to know where the 5 yards are, but you also got to know what's holding, what's grabbing at the line of scrimmage, right?
Yeah, I believe the holding calls are going to be a ton of flags thrown this year because guys, it's their a nature to be aggressive as corners, especially when they're pressing. So you guys got to have good targets. You can't aim for the head. You got to aim for the shoulders. Keep your eye on his waist. Figure out which way he's going. And then when you shoot your hands, just try to keep them, you know, out of the foul zone.
Can smaller guys jam effectively, press coverage effectively too?
Yeah. I mean, I believe any corner that's patient enough could jam any size receiver. It doesn't matter on the size.
How does patience play into it?
You have to not try to jump routes, but anticipate. Like, don't guess where he's going and don't lunge. It's like you want to stay on your feet, stay square, keep the weight, you know, on the balls of your feet.
What about the role for smaller cornerbacks in this league? You know, Leotis McKelvin is not real big. Nickell Roby is small. What role can those guys play in an overall mix of a defensive backfield?
Well, I think Leotis actually has pretty good size. I think Roby, as a smaller guy in the nickel, his feet are lightning quick. So it allows him to stay, you know, with the receivers in the slots because he has to run back and forth across the field. Now, Leotis, he's a little in weight. As far as weight, he's a little bit small. I mean, 185 pounds, maybe 190. But he's strong, he's physical, and he does just as well. Him and Gilmore do a great job of pressing guys at the line of scrimmage.
Talking with Chris McAllister, he is the Bills, Bill Walsh Minority Coaching Fellow in camp for the rest of this week. I want to talk a little bit about your playing career. You came in as a first-round draft pick to a Baltimore Ravens team that was really on the ascend. Did you know when you went there in 99 that things were trending upwards for that team?
Actually, no, I didn't. I didn't even know that Baltimore, they weren't even on my radar.
Really?
I mean, at the time, I was a huge football fan, you know, being in college, but I was more into college football than NFL. It's kind of, you know, I just kind of actually, you know, things worked out great where I got picked by a great organization.
You went to a great defense, a legendary great defense that 2000 season.
Yeah, after I got there, I realized all the pieces that they had put in place before I had got there, you know, with their first run, with, you know, drafting Ray and Jonathan and then building on that. You know, Ozzie Newsome did a great job with the rest of the staff there assembling great talent. And when I got there, we were 8-8, and we knew at that time that we were going to be better the next year. I just kind of, you know, I've come from a background of always competing and always wanting to win, and it seemed like I joined a group of guys that had the same mentality.
People talk a lot about Ray Lewis. Can you give us your thoughts on what he brought to that team, not just on the field and the way he played, but his attitude, his demeanor?
I mean, I think the one thing that he brought to this team and the one thing that always, as long as his entire career was there, he's always brought it, is at practice, he made you play like game. He made you play at a game tempo, a game speed. He was always lead by vocal leader and lead by example. I was like, and I think the way that he pushed all of his teammates to practice made him better on games.
You don't wear your Super Bowl ring, at least not out here to practice. What was that experience like to win the Super Bowl?
I thought it was amazing. It was the best sports moment of my entire life. There's nothing better than walking out victorious on Super Bowl Sunday.
I want to ask you about one play in particular, and I think it was a couple of years after that. The missed field goal, Monday Night Football, 107-yard return for a touchdown. Yeah. You get asked about that play, I'm sure, quite a bit. It's been since beaten. At the time, it was the longest scoring play in NFL history, longest play in NFL history. Yeah. What was that like? What do you remember about that?
I can remember everything like it was yesterday. The coach called out the field goal block return, just in case it was short, and the kick came up short. The whole idea was we knew that Ray was, since he was the middle safety on the play, we knew that he would be the first one screaming back. I was instructed to catch the ball and, walk like I wasn't going to return to try to let the rest of our guys peel back to set up the wall. It was always going to be a return to our sideline. And I started running, and when Ray got close enough, I started running. He waved his hand. He took out the first guy, and the rest was history.
So you had a return on for a field goal. Is that rare?
It was a field goal return. It's like, yeah, we only practice it just in case someone tries a 55, 60-yard field goal, yeah, and it might not get there if it's a bad kick. And, we were just in the right situation, at the right time.
Who was the special teams coach? Was that Harbaugh?
I don't remember.
I don't know who that was. I mean, that's pretty good.
I don't think it was Harbaugh, though. No. He didn't come until my ninth year.
How often do teams practice that? Do you see it out here in the special teams period? I
haven't seen it out here, and I don't even think – by now, because it's done so commonly, I think you just tell a guy, go back there if you know the kicker's gonna have a hard time with a 60-yard field goal, 55, something at the end of their range, just send a guy back there.
Pretty amazing play. Chris, you wrap up your stint here with the Bills this week. What's next for you? Are you gonna continue to look for coaching jobs and maybe find a coaching job somewhere?
Yeah, coaching is what I want to do. It's my next career, definitely. Being out here for these 6 weeks has just verified that in my own beliefs. I love football. That's what it really boils down to. And there's no place I'd rather be than coaching somewhere with somebody.
You mentioned how you follow Coach Henderson around and you see the long hours and the kind of drudgery of watching video over and over and over again. You're all on board with that?
I'm all aboard. It's like you get to sleep on your weekends.
Maybe.
You sleep before the game a little bit. Yeah. I was like, but, it's like I don't have a problem with the days don't seem that long when you're doing what you love to do. Now, if I was working someplace that I didn't enjoy or didn't love, then I would complain about those hours. But when you're coaching football, it doesn't seem like a job. Like, it's an art. It's just something that when you love it, it's like you can do nonstop.
We wish you well. Thank you for coming on the show, and thanks for being around Bills Camp this week.
Thanks for having me.
Chris McAllister, former Baltimore Ravens quarterback, won a Super Bowl with the Ravens in 2000. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from Bills Training Camp on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Really enjoyed talking to Chris McAllister the other day at training camp, and he spent a lot of time with those Bills defensive backs the last 5 weeks. I know they'll miss him when he goes, and I think he's done when they'll probably come to the game tomorrow, and that'll be it. Hope he does well in his coaching pursuits. Chris McAllister, he was a great corner, a big corner. Remember how big he was? He was even walking around camp a couple times. I thought, man, how did that guy play corner as big as he is? Chris McAllister joining us tonight. We appreciate that. Coming up next hour, Steve Tasker is going to join us at 8 live to talk about tomorrow night's game. He'll be calling the game on the television network up and down all over upstate New York. And we'll talk about the fan experience in the brand new renovated Ralph Wilson Stadium with Andy Major, the Bills' vice president of guest experience. He's coming up at 8:30. If you missed it earlier, we've got the game on the radio tomorrow night. Myself, Mark Kelso, and Sal Capaccio will be joining us on the sidelines as our new sideline reporter starting tomorrow night when the Bills play the Bucks. We talked with Sal earlier tonight and made that announcement. We're looking forward to that. And it's 1 o'clock pregame on most of these stations, 4:30 kickoff. It is Kids Day. Independent Health, proud to sponsor this year's Kids Day game. A full day of football and family fun at Ralph Wilson Stadium coming up tomorrow. Phone lines are open if you have thoughts about tomorrow night's game, what you'd like to see, what you're hoping to see, 803-0550 the number. Or if you have thoughts on who's the most valuable player of the Bills training camp this year and who's the most improved player,
Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The game in Orchard Park tomorrow, there are five, I think you know, there are five Western New York natives on the Buffalo Bills roster right now, including Mike Williams, including Jimmy Gaines, a linebacker, Canisius High School, University of Miami graduate, including Derek Brim, the corner from Canisius and University at Buffalo, Naaman Roosevelt, and Corey Graham. We talked with a couple of them at camp the other day. Most of them have, a couple of them anyway, have never played at Ralph Wilson Stadium. We talked with Jimmy Gaines, linebacker number 45, and talked with him about playing in Ralph Wilson Stadium in tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, it's a long time coming, having to, been able to play there my junior and senior year of high school. So it was a fun experience playing against St. Joe's and playing against St. Francis as well.
What about this game? Are you excited about playing in the NFL in that stadium?
It's a dream come true. You know, just growing up as a child, just watching the greats play over at Ralph Wilson Stadium, and having the opportunity to do that is amazing.
You got all that going on, plus, you know, cuts are coming. You're obviously feeling some of that too, I would think, as those dates approach. Huh?
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, I mean, I just try to control whatever I can control. You know, I don't try to worry about too much, just doing my job.
Jimmy, what do you think you put on tape for these guys? What's, like, the strongest case you've made for these guys?
The fact that I'm smart and reliable. I'm able to do what I do my job and execute it at a high level. And I'm also going to run to the ball. I mean, with all those fails, you know, I go to the ball at 100%.
Jimmy Gaines, linebacker, number 45, making a bid to stick with the Buffalo Bills. Canisius High School product, played at Ralph Wilson Stadium in a couple of Monsignor Martin playoff games. But now he steps on the field tomorrow night as a pro, as an NFL Buffalo Bill. Should be a big night for him. All right, we're going to take a break at the top of the hour here. And then coming up in the next hour, we'll hear from Steve Tasker, former Bills special teams ace. He'll be calling the game on the Bills television network tomorrow. And Andy Major, the Bills' vice president of guest experience, will talk about everything you need to know about going to the game tomorrow. That's one more hour to go. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
Just go to our website, get all the highlights.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
You ready for me to get started? I'm ready to bite.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the show, we're setting you up for the Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tomorrow night. Stephen Means returns to Buffalo to play. We had him on the show just last night, defensive end Stephen Means, number 96 for the Tampa Bay Bucs, getting a chance to play in front of his friends and family tomorrow night. It is Kids Day tomorrow night. Independent Health, proud to be the official health and wellness partner of the Bills and the sponsor of tomorrow night's Kids Day game. 4:30 kickoff tomorrow. You can hear it on the radio here. You can also watch it on TV, because it is a sellout. And when you watch it on TV, you will hear the voices of former Bills linebacker Ray Bentley and our next guest. 12 years with the Buffalo Bills, 7-time Pro Bowl performer, color analyst on the Bills television network, and of course going into, 13 years now on CBS TV. Steve Tasker joins us. Steve, my mistake. How many years have you been doing games on CBS now?
This will be 17.
17 years. That's great.
Yeah, 98 was my first year.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's been a great run. And it's been a great company to work for. CBS has been awesome to work for, for me.
And who are you working with this year? Who's your partner?
I'm in a three-man booth with Steve Berline and Andrew Catalon. Catalon's a young guy, young play-by-play guy who actually lives and works in Albany.
Yep.
And, of course, Steve Berline played for 17 years as a quarterback for Jacksonville and the Raiders and some other people as well. So
sure.
We did a couple of games together last year as a three-man booth, and Steve and I did, and we had a blast, so I'm looking forward to it.
Do you I don't know if I've ever asked you this. Do you like doing Bills games when you're on CBS? Does it present a problem for you?
No, I like doing them. I enjoy them because, you know, I'm obviously a fan of the team. I like the organization, and I like doing the team. I get a little trouble from the Bills execs sometimes when I'm doing Bills games, because they say I'm too hard on the Bills.
Yeah.
And I kind of guess I am. I do that a little bit to make sure I don't overcompensate. And I guess I overcompensate so I don't sound like a homer, you know, Bills fan. because I'm doing the show for, you know, if they were playing the Dolphins, I'm doing it for Dolphins fans too. So
sure,
you got to be, you kind of try to walk a middle ground, and sometimes I go overboard trying to make it sound like I'm not a homer.
You know, they always say if the Bills people are getting mad at you and the other team is getting mad at you, you're probably doing a pretty good job, right?
That's the barometer I use.
Yeah.
I mean, you go on Twitter after the game, and if both fans are calling you, both sides of the fence are calling you a homer, it's the way I want to be, I guess.
Steve Tasker joins us. He is the former Bills special teams ace, 7-time Pro Bowl performer. You can hear him on the television broadcast tomorrow night, the Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Steve, this training camp for the Bills just ended, yesterday, and, you know, they're still down there at Fisher. In your years playing back in the 80s, did you ever have a 5-week training camp? Were they that long back then?
I don't think so. I mean, there might have been some early in my years with the Houston Oilers when we went out to San Antonio or San Angelo, Texas. But
yeah.
Even though my first training camp with Marv, when it was an entirely new staff, I don't think it went 6 weeks. I mean, or 5 weeks. I mean, that's a long time. Although we did have 5 preseason games a number of times,
yeah,
a couple of times. We didn't because of the American Bowls and the Hall of Fame game we played in. I think we broke camp a little earlier, it seems like, but I can't really remember.
Yeah, well, some of it, obviously, extenuating circumstances with the stadium construction here, but what do you think that does to a team? I think that might cut both ways. I mean, they've been together now for 5 weeks, and, you know, if they're going to bond, they've certainly had enough time to do it. By the same token, if they're going to get on each other's nerves, they've had enough time to do that, too.
Well, you do get on each other's nerves, and you do bond a little bit as well. And I think one of the saddest things is when they start having to let guys go. And, you know, you go from, what is it now, 90 guys?
Yep.
And they go all the way down to 53, plus now 10 practice squad guys. I mean, that's 63 guys. That's 30 guys that have sweat and worked hard and hurt with you and bled with you in some cases, and they're gone. I remember the first day of that first week of the regular season, you go out there to team stretch, and you don't even feel like you can feel the team. There's nobody there. I mean, you know, 45 guys on game day, it doesn't seem like it's enough guys after you've gone through training camp with 90.
Yeah. What, and in your playing career, I know you probably early on with the Oilers and maybe early with Buffalo, you would sweat out those cut-down dates. At what point in your career did you feel like you didn't need to worry about it?
Certainly there were some years when, you know, when you're going to the Super Bowl every year and you're going to the Pro Bowl at the same time, you feel pretty good about it. But early on, I mean, I got to Buffalo and, you know, I was only here midway through the 86 season, and you know, you come into the 87, I thought, I was a stopgap guy. Marv just gotten a job. I was the first new guy they signed, and we're going to training camp, and I only got to play for 6 or 8 weeks. I didn't get a chance to even learn the offense and, you know, anything. And so that was certainly a time when I was thinking, you know, this is hopefully another team sees me and I can catch on with somebody else. But lo and behold, I made it, and it went on to better things from there.
Yeah, it's, everybody knows, Steve, special teams provide the ticket to the roster for many players. And how nerve-wracking is that in these last couple of preseason games when guys who might be on the bubble have to make a play and, you know, maybe they only get 3 punts to cover, or maybe they only get, you know, a couple of field goals to try to block. The opportunities are limited.
Well, they are, but also you get in this game, certainly the opportunities are going to be limited. The problem is you get into the next week's game and you've got more opportunities than you're actually in shape to handle. You get in there, you're playing every down of defense or every down of offense, plus you're covering every punt or return on or punt return every play, and you're doing kickoff and kickoff return as well, and so you're doing all of this stuff plus playing regular down and distance. You're spent, and then you look up and you're halfway through the second quarter in a game you got to finish. So I think for the most part, most of them wish they could play in this game a lot, or at least have a regular role. The thing that bothers them is, like you said, the opportunities sometimes are there, but you don't know when they're going to happen, and sometimes they happen in, you know, one play here, 3 plays there, and that's it. And then later on, you'll get 15 plays in a row, and by the end, you don't show your best there either because you've got other things distracting you, like special teams or and on that kind of thing. So it really is a test to how these guys, how disciplined they can stay and how much they know as much as it is how good they can play.
We're live on the line with Steve Tasker, the former Bills special teamer, who is also going to be on the call of the Bills and the Bucks tomorrow night. The game will be telecast. Steve will be there with Ray Bentley tomorrow. Tomorrow will be your third Bills broadcast, Steve. Tell me about the first couple of games, what you saw, what you liked about what the Buffalo Bills did the first few weeks.
Well, I think certainly when they came out of the blocks, their defense, I mean, the defense is going to set the tone for the team, I think. I mean, they're so talented. And they're so deep across the board. And I think the thing that struck me about this crew this year on both sides of the ball and all over their roster is, one, how big they are everywhere, and two, how deep they are. Their offensive line seems to have enough guys and plus to go. I mean, it's great when they're thinking, well, we got to maybe move some guys around to make sure we can get them on the field because there's, you know, so many good players out there. That's something that hasn't happened in Buffalo for a while. And on the defensive line, I mean, where do you start? You got four guys going on a 4-3 defense. Three of them went to the Pro Bowl last year, and the guy who didn't, Jerry Hughes, had 10 sacks. I mean, it's a team that's very big, very athletic, and deep. They've got a lot of good backups. And I think another thing as well is at the perimeter of both sides of the ball, in the defensive backfield and the wide receiver, they got some guys. I mean, they've got some real athletes, world-class, top-notch athletic guys who can really play, and I think it's really exciting to see.
Most people who see the Bills this year, this summer, Steve, and a couple of like national guys coming through training camp back in July when camp got started, come away with pretty similar reaction, like, whoa, there's some talent on this roster. There is, isn't there?
Absolutely. They've got 12 guys that were drafted in the first round, and a lot of those guys were in the top 15 of the draft, let alone Sammy Watkins and EJ was number 16. I mean, you've got
Darius was number 3.
Right. I mean, yeah. Keith Rivers was number 14. I mean, and guys from other teams that have come here. And the thing about having that many guys who were drafted in the first round, one thing you know about all those guys, they're all really athletic. I mean, they test out. All the measurables are more than there. They're big, strong, gifted athletes. And for one reason or another, they set themselves apart either with their skills or their knowledge or their commitment or whatever. Something makes them different. And when you get guys like that on the field, you know, you just know that there's one thing you don't have to worry about. You're not going to get out athleticized by your opponent. You're going to have some guys that can run and jump and match up physically. So it's a good place to start. And you're right. I mean, this is a team that when they come out of the tunnel, you know, there's going to be some teams that, you know, kind of, you know, get a lump in their throat when they see these guys walk out of the tunnel because they're going to look like an NFL team.
Steve, what's been your assessment of EJ Manuel through the preseason games you've seen him so far?
Well, I like that he's starting out a little bit like he did last year. I loved him last year early going because you remember week two when he brought him back on a 9-play, 80-yard drive to win that game with virtually no time on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
I like where he's at there. This is a team where I think he realizes, really, if EJ doesn't turn the football over, this is going to be a really tough out for opponents to beat. Now, this team is going to be very difficult to beat if they don't get extra possessions with the football. Their defense is going to be very difficult to score against. Their running game is going to be really potent. And with EJ back there, if he can complete some passes, particularly the matchups on the outside with Sammy Watkins and Mike Williams, I mean, those two guys are going to be headaches. So it's going to be very, very difficult to match up with this offense athletically and at the skill positions. And EJ, if he can just protect it and get the ball to those guys, this is going to be a really good football team.
One of the interesting things to watch the last few weeks, Steve, has been the competition, quite frankly, between Robert Woods and Chris Hogan for the slot receiver spot. You played a little receiver, played some slot receiver in your day. What's the prototype there? What do you need, and what do you think the Bills are looking for from that slot receiver?
Well, there's different philosophies. So if your philosophy is you want a small guy who can really scoot and is difficult to match up one-on-one and is good in tight spaces, you can use that, and I think that's more of Robert Woods. I mean, Hogan is more of a guy who's 6 foot, 6'1", you know, 215. He's a bigger guy. Tougher, and he's a bigger target. Plus, you know, he's better in traffic, and he can shake off a tackler a little easier. I think either of those guys can be effective in there, but you do need somebody who's going to be available and going to be there every week. I mean, that's one of the things I think Doug Marrone is high on, and I think I have to agree with him. All these guys and these guys we've been talking about are great, but I think it's going to be about Robert Wood and Chris Hogan being available. Now, Hogan can play some special teams. I don't know that Robert Wood ever has. And that's a consideration that may put Robert Wood a better position for the slot, because you're still going to get some good help out of Hogan on the special teams, and you'll make yourself better over there. But I think, you know, Robert Woods, you got to feel sorry for. Here he was last year. He came in, and it was him and Stevie Johnson, who was a kind of an unorthodox receiver, but Robert Woods was a much better athlete than he was. And Robert Woods comes back to training camp this year, and all of a sudden, Mike Williams and Sammy Watkins are ahead of him. And yeah, these guys can really play, and all of a sudden, he's looking for a spot where he can fit in, and he's having some trouble doing it because Chris Hogan is playing well.
Steve, is there anybody that you've seen in these first few preseason games that jumped out at you? Maybe you didn't know much about him. I'm thinking Landon Cohen or somebody like that.
That's who I was going to say, yeah. Landon Cohen. The play he made in Pittsburgh where he scooped up the fumble and rumbled down, you know, inside Steeler territory was one of a bunch that he's made. I think one of the things that he does every game at least once is shoot the gap and jump the snap count.
Yeah.
And he gets in there and disrupts. I mean, and you know as well as I do, one of the things Kyle Williams is so good at and Marcel Darius is their ability to penetrate. And if you can do that inside of the defensive tackle, you can't run the football against those guys. And that because the running back has to dodge people before he can even get ahead of steam, and by that time the pursuit, you know, sees that it's a running play and everybody starts to converge and there's just no room. So I think that's one of the things that Cohn has been able to do is really penetrate and wreak havoc. I've really enjoyed watching him play, and we talk about him a lot on the broadcasts.
Speaking of the broadcast, Steve, have you seen the new network broadcast booth that you'll be using tomorrow night at the stadium? Have you been in there?
Yes, I have.
It's nice, isn't it?
It is. In fact, they cut it in half, and it looks like even the two halves are bigger than the one we used to have.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's pretty neat. But I got to tell you, Murph, I went and Chief Marketing Officer Mark Hone, who's a friend of mine, he gave me the grand tour. Just him and I, we walked around and saw the whole thing. And I got to be honest with you, I'm not exaggerating at all. I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
When you walk around that place and you realize, you know, how much the fans are going to love it.
Yeah.
What all is going to happen in that stadium? What all has happened in the past and what it means? I mean, it really gave me chills to be back there and see that place dressed up and what it's going to look like for the fans. It's exciting, and to see that place get a renovation like that makes it just look so much better, and it's just what can I say? I got goosebumps. I really did, and it was fun to go around and see all the new stuff. It's really going to be fun for the fans.
Yeah, I had a similar experience today with Mark. We were sitting in one of the booths there, and it was, you know, beautiful blue skies and sunshine, and we were looking out over that great stadium seating bowl. The field looks great. And I said, Mark, look at this place. This place is 41 years old. Look at it. I mean, it's amazing what they've done with that place.
Yeah, the place looks brand new. And I keep telling people, you know, one of the things with the ownership change and all the stuff that's happening, it's going to be a hard sell in just a handful of years for people to say, why do we need a new one, man? This place is awesome. And I've always been very proud of the fact that I played in that stadium when it was Rich Stadium, and also now there's Ralph Wilson Stadium. It still holds, and they've upgraded it one small step at a time over all these years, and the place is just a masterpiece. Right. I think it's just a lot of fun, and it looks phenomenal when you're in there.
Really looking forward to tomorrow getting over there. Steve, thanks for spending time with us tonight. We'll see you over there tomorrow.
All right, Murph, looking forward to it.
Steve Tasker, 12 years with the Bills, 7-time Pro Bowler. You can see him, of course, on the Buffalo Bills television network tomorrow. They'll have the call along with Ray Bentley of the Bills and the Bucks, 4:30 kickoff. And, of course, you can see him on the NFL on CBS for his 17th year. I would have guessed, I did guess, 13 years, 17 years, the NFL on CBS. How about that? Thanks to Steve Tasker for joining us. Tomorrow's game, 4:30 kickoff. Our radio pregame coverage starts at 1 o'clock on many of these stations. The newly renovated Ralph Wilson Stadium, ready to go. And it is also Kids Day, as you know. Independent Health, the sponsor of Kids Day. So you can enjoy live music, carnival games, activities, giveaways, and, of course, the Bills and the Bucks tomorrow. Some of the players will be enjoying playing in Buffalo tomorrow. We talked about this a few minutes ago, including some Buffalo natives. You heard from Jimmy Gaines, Canisius High School product, University of Miami graduate, about the fact that he played in that stadium before for the Monsignor Martin League playoffs for Canisius High School. Mike Williams, Riverside High School product, talks about that too. We talked with Mike Williams yesterday about playing a game in Ralph Wilson Stadium tomorrow.
Actually, my last time, it was a good one because it was at Ralph Wilson Stadium, but we played a team called Lafayette Buffalo Public School, and we actually lost by a touchdown. fourth and inches, we tried to run. They stopped us instead of throwing the fade, I told my coach. But, yeah, I had two touchdowns that game, and hopefully we go out and my next time be a winner there.
What's it going to be like for you to play in there? You know, I'm sure you're going to have friends and family in the stands Saturday night.
Oh, it's going to be surreal. I just could just imagine this. It's going to be like when I first got called out for my first NFL game. So I can't wait for it to happen. I can't wait for all my family to be there to see me because it's their last game getting tickets. But but I can't wait.
How many tickets? Do you have a lot this game?
About 200 and some change.
What are you going to cut it down to regular season?
Probably about 50.
You got some serious cuts to make.
Yeah, I know. That's what I told him.
Mike Williams said 250 tickets for tomorrow's game. He probably took advantage of the Kids Day discount. But 250 tickets, he's got some cuts to make before the regular season begins. Excited about playing there. That guy is a funny guy, Mike Williams. I always enjoy talking with him. Here's a call from Butch on the east side. Good evening, Butch. How are you tonight? Hello, Butch. Are you there?
Yeah, no, sorry, Mark.
That's okay.
I was just kidding. Just wanted to say, you know, Doug Whaley and the front staff have really went ahead and stocked this whole football team with talent. You know, there's no more excuses anymore, Murph. It's easy for us to take for granted of what we have, and we have a lot of talent. Steven, you guys were just talking about Robert Woods, like the receiver, trying to find his way when he was really one of the top players on the team last year. So I just say this coaching staff coming out, you got everybody's under fire with new ownership already, but at the same time, as fans, man, we're excited, you know what I mean? And at the same time, we cannot take this for granted. So thanks a lot, Murph, for taking my call, and I'm sorry.
Okay, thanks, Butch. What are you sorry about? I enjoy talking to you. I don't know what he's sorry about. Thanks for calling. Yeah, there's talent on this roster, which, you know, there are probably 31 other teams that feel in some maybe 29 other teams, guessing, feel pretty similar that we've got talent here. But there is talent. What I've seen from E.J. Manuel the last couple of weeks in practice, for the most part, he didn't show a whole lot against Pittsburgh, but what I've seen from him in practice indicates to me that he is definitely on the right track. He seems much more decisive in practice. He's much more accurate the last few weeks in practice. I think, again, we talk a lot on this show about E.J. and when will the light go on and when's he going to flip the switch. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for gradual improvement from E.J. Manuel, and I have to say I've seen it in practice the last 2 weeks. Now he's got to bring that to the game, and they're not asking him to put the team on his back and carry the team. They're asking him to play mistake-free football, to throw the ball accurately, to hit these targets that they've assembled for him, including Mike Williams and Sammy Watkins, and to take advantage of the good running game that they built for him, and to know that he has a solid defense on the other side of the ball to bail him out when he needs it. That's what they're asking him to do. It's a tough job, but I think he's capable, and I think I have a feeling that we're going to see some marked improvement from E.J. Manuel in tomorrow night's game. We've had phone lines open all night, and you're welcome to join us. If you have an MVP from training camp, who would it be? I went with Jerry Hughes on the defensive side of the ball, the most improved player from training camp. There were nominations. I went with T.J. Graham. Other people had Chantrell Henderson, which is a really good one for most improved players. If you have thoughts on that, the phone lines are open. 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Also, coming up next, we're going to talk with Andy Major, who is a frequent guest on our show. We like to get him in every couple of weeks or so, especially before home games, to talk about the guest experience, the fan experience at Ralph Wilson Stadium. He's the answer guy. He has answers to questions like, why do we do this, and why is this the way it is? So we're going to open up phone lines in a moment here for Andy Major when he joins us. Andy Major is going to talk about what to expect when you show up at Ralph Wilson Stadium tomorrow afternoon, what's different, what's the same, what some of the rules and regulations are, all of that coming up next when he joins us. Andy Major, the Bills Vice President of Event Operations and Guest Experience, coming up in just a moment. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, coming to you live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Coming to you live from our studios at One Bills Drive. And tomorrow afternoon, we'll be live across the parking lot at Ralph Wilson Stadium, the newly renovated Ralph Wilson Stadium, and they were set to go, the Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You may have some questions about the fan experience tomorrow. What to expect, what it will look like, where should you go, etc. Well, if you do, we've got the man in studio with us right now to answer those questions. He is the Vice President of Event Operations and Guest Experience for the Buffalo Bills, a frequent contributor to our show, Andy Major. Andy, thanks for coming by.
Murph, great to be here. We're very excited about tomorrow, I'll tell you that much.
You're working pretty hard these days, aren't you, getting this thing
yeah,
together?
Hoping to grab a couple hours of sleep tonight. But.
Hey, we want to invite callers and listeners. If you have comments or questions for Andy, he's always willing to answer those questions. The phone line's open, 803-0550, or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. I guess the biggest question I have, Andy, is it's kind of a new stadium getting in and getting out. So if you're used to going and parking in the same place and walking in the same gate and you've done it for 20 years, what do you do tomorrow? How do you get started?
You know, there are definitely some changes for the positive. As far as getting here, you know, the directions fans are used to taking from Buffalo or from the North Towns or South Towns, still the same. But what's great now for fans is the parking lots and the gate numbers coincide. So if you are going to park at lot 2, you're going to enter gate 2. If you're going to park at lot 3, you're going to enter gate 3 and so on. So that really helps for fans, especially that don't know the facility as well as maybe some others. And it really streamlines things for us from a, you know, helping fans over the phone when they have questions on how to enter the stadium, where to park, which gate to go into. And boy, when you see the signs, I mean, you can't miss them. From the parking lot sign to the gate sign to the suite and club member entry sign, the numbers are all the same. They really help you get in very easily.
Is it fair to say that people who've come to the games for years and know kind of where they know where their seats are, they know kind of where they've entered in the past, that generally they should enter somewhere in that vicinity tomorrow?
Honestly, you know what's going to be kind of cool, I think, is to hear from them. Because, I think it's really not going to be a hard thing for fans that know our stadium. They're going to look at the facility. They're going to look at the stadium and go, oh, yeah, this is where I used to come in. I can't believe how different it is. It's beautiful. It looks great. Hopefully they say that. But the access and the location of their seats are the same. You know, so that's going to be a cool thing for them. It's just they have more space. Right. So they can get in easier. They have the larger concourses, the monumental stairways and the ramps. All that's changed to make it easier for them getting in and out to their seating areas.
Andy Major, our guest. He's the Vice President of Event Operations and Guest Experience for the Buffalo Bills. If you have comments, questions, lines open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. So you actually get your ticket scanned, and hopefully that's expedited that process. That's part of what this is all about, the Super Gates, right?
Yeah, you know, the ticket office has done a great job with really improving technology and kind of getting up with the times. And you know, most teams already are doing a lot of these things. So, you're going to have a season ticket that, you know, it's just a card.
Yep.
And it's your season ticket card for the whole year. And it's got a barcode. And you can forward that electronically. And fans that receive it can bring either their cell phone and have their cell phone get scanned with the barcode, or else their paper ticket that they print at home and use that as a scanned item so to get into the game. So, that's going to be very interesting in streamlining things as well and making it easier. And then for some of the fans that maybe don't want to do that or they're not ready to change yet, you know, they still can bring the hard ticket like they always were able to. So ticket office has really accommodated everybody with this one.
You get through the gates, you get into the stadium, and it's pretty easy to with some signage that is, for the most part, in place. You've got a north side of the stadium is blue, right, and the south side is red.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
that makes it easier to get around.
It is, There's a ton of new things, and the signage is beautiful. The look of the stadium is clean. It's fresh. It's new. But it's still a work in progress. I mean, we've got dirt with grass seed in it, and we've got trees that were just planted. And, we've got this blue-red side thing going on, which is great, but not all the signage is up yet. All the critical signage is up, all the wayfinding, directional, that type of stuff is up. But, you know, fans are going to notice, oh, there's a banner. Well, that's just temporary to get us through this game. And so they're going to miss some of the maybe graphic signs that aren't quite up yet with our logos, with player photos and that kind of thing. That's last second. And that's going up right after this game. Hopefully before Thursday, we'll have most of that stuff in too.
Let's talk for a second about concessions, Andy. There are more options and more points of sale throughout the stadium, right? Including on the 300 level up top there.
You know, you know, the concession level, that's a major, major transformation. It's an anti-major transformation. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's clean. It's new looking. It's fresh. There's space. There's point of sale. You know, you can actually swipe your credit card. You don't have to worry about paying cash. So, and there's more lines and more points of sale. So there should be, you know, less people online. There should be faster transactions, quicker transactions, better food choices, and just lighting and space. And that's the major change there is the lighting, the space, and the additional sale points.
You know, we've talked to you a couple times about your fan advisory board that you put together. It sounds like a lot of these changes are a result of kind of the dialogue you have with fans over this.
Well, you know, you're right. Some of them are. I mean, one directly is, you know, we've had an excessive standing issue over the past few years and for a long time. But mainly, you know, it's not you can't stand and enjoy the game and cheer the team on when there's exciting plays. It's those times in the game when maybe someone's standing up and maybe they've drank too much, the rest of the section's sitting and there's no action going on and they're kind of wrecking, you know, the experience for some of the rest of the fans. But fan advisory board said, well, do you guys have to sell those seats? Well, maybe not. And that's what we did. So we took those seats off sale, two rows of the four sideline sections on both sides of the field, which are, you know, some of the higher priced tickets. So we took those off sale. We eliminated those seats altogether, and we've tarped those with our royal blue color, and we put the player program banners on there, you know, to really dress it up and make it look nice. So we think, you know, eliminating at least those first two rows is a good start to hopefully help us in that transgression of, you know, fixing the excessive standing issue. Because the first two rows of those sections, people stand because they can't see over the players, so they continually get up and stand. So that's going to really help us out, we believe. And that was a great suggestion by the fan advisory board that did come to fruition this season.
And just to be clear, there's no prohibition on standing during the course of a game,
absolutely
right?
Not. And that, I know, has been something that some fans tease us about. Oh, now you're not letting us stand. Well, no, that's absolutely not the case. I mean, yeah, please. Stand up, cheer, you know, when we score touchdowns and field goals and when we you know, we're up 40-10 on the Patriots or the Jets. Hey, this is the time to get excited and pumped up like they always have been. And they're, you know, what better fans than what we've got? And we know what kind of fans we have here. And then they're loyal and they're passionate and they're loud and they're proud. And, you know, it's a tremendous experience. And people know it's electric at the Ralph. And I think, you know, this is just another way to make it better for those fans in those areas. And this is just one little thing for people to think about when they're standing and there's nothing going on. Yeah. And those are the complaints we always get and we always deal with. And when we do talk to a fan that does that or that does excessively stand, and they understand, they know what they're doing, and they sit down, and they appreciate what's going on. You know, the issues we really have is maybe when someone is inebriated or it's a little bit over the edge and they can hardly hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
So
we're with Andy Major. He's the Bills Vice President, Event Operations and Guest Experience. Phone line's open. If you have comments about tomorrow night, what to expect, what to look for, 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. What else should fans know about coming tomorrow? What has changed or what might be tweaked a little bit differently than what you've done in the past?
Well, I mean, I think what the fans are going to really notice a lot of is a lot of staff. They're going to see their neighbors, their friends working at the Ralph. And we've got more guest services staff. We've got more security. We've got the same amount of sheriff that we had last year, the 128 uniformed Erie County Sheriff. So, you know, we have really, in this offseason, tried to be that third piece. You know, you're the stadium. The stadium is going through a beautiful transformation. It's going to be tremendous for fans to see and experience. And we know the on-the-field transformation is very exciting right now, too. You know, we have huge expectations. And, you know, our company goal is win. You know, from head to toe, from Russ Brandon all the way to our entire staff, we want to win. And we're behind the coach 100% with that. And then the third piece is the fan experience, the staffing. And that's what we've really focused on with our training, with all the staff and that and the visibility and their friendliness and providing a safe place, a clean place, which I hope fans will enjoy, a comfortable place. And you know what? It's a friendly place. You know, we're the city of good neighbors. We've got great staff. And arguably, in my opinion, we've got the best staff in the entire NFL. They're friendly. They care. You know, we care about fans' experience. And we take it very personal when someone has a bad time. And because some of those people are our friends and our family members that are coming to the games.
I always thought, and I love the Kids' Day game because it is a different vibe when all those young people come in the stadium. First of all, the sound of the crowd is different. It's much more high-pitched, a lot of shrieking. But I always like the Kids' Day atmosphere here.
We love Kids' Day. We love Kids' Day. You know, it's so great to see families and kids come out to the game, and that's our goal. We want more families, more kids at all of our games. And when you have that, when you have that family atmosphere, you know what? Some of those adults, boy, do they get more responsible. They're still loud. They're still crazy. They're still having a great time. But guess what? So are the kids. So are the families. Everyone's into it. And then you're eliminating some of the negative things that might happen with fan behavior when you do have 20-year-old adults that might be drinking too much and not thinking so much about the fans around them.
Sure.
And the kids around them and say stuff accidentally or things like that. So we love Kids' Day. It's probably our most fun game of the year for all of our staff to work.
Andy, the last couple of years, the Bills have implemented, the league has implemented new rules as far as what you can bring in, bags, et cetera. Can you just kind of review some of those rules that people have made?
Yeah, forgotten? You know, thankfully for everybody, there's no changes to last season. So it's still the same. The bag policy is the same as last year. So it's, you know, a clear bag smaller than 12 by 6 by 12 inches are permitted. 1 gallon clear plastic freezer bags are permitted. And small clutch bags the size of a hand, which is basically 4.5 by 6.5 inches, clutch purses mainly for females. So, you know, we always recommend fans, you know what, if you really don't need to bring a bag, don't bring a bag. Most fans don't, and they come right in, and there's no search. It's very simple for them. But we understand fans want to bring some things in and have a bag to do that. And, you know, this policy really alleviates that and lets that happen.
We've got a call for you here from Eric. Eric has a question for Andy Major. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, thanks for taking a call. I've been to soccer stadiums in Europe, and they allow you to prepay almost like a team debit card for concessions. And
yes.
Since you guys have moved to the technology of using cards for tickets, the natural progression is to kind of use it as a debit card for concessions. It just keeps the lines moving more efficiently because you're not exchanging coins and cash the whole time. And these debit cards, they have recharge stations strategically placed by the concession areas. Mm-hmm. And you can probably recharge them online when you're not at the games as well, just kind of throwing out there as an idea.
Sounds like a good idea.
That's a great idea, Eric, and thanks for the call on that. I mean, I will tell you, that is something that we're looking at now, and the technology we're trying to have in the stadium for the infrastructure to handle that. Great idea. It's something we'd like to incorporate into our season ticket cards, those cards that will also have dollar amounts that people can use at concession stands eventually and have recharge areas. That's a great idea. So we don't have it 100% the way Eric described it, but yes, that is a direction we'd love to go to.
Here's a call from Dan in Tonawanda. Hello, Dan. You're on the air.
Yes, excuse me, Andy. I wanted to check with you on what happens after the games. The past several years, perhaps going back a little bit further, there were actually some restrictions on the gates as far as their being open. And I know that the new gates are going to let a lot of people in quickly. I'm hoping that the gates will be similarly open at the end so that people aren't trapped inside.
Hmm. Dan, your hope is our command. We are doing that. I'm really glad you brought that up, and thank you for calling, Dan. Yes, the gates that you're coming into are the gates you're going to leave. What a novel idea, right? Yes, so there will be much more space for fans to egress. There won't be those pinch points that fans, like Dan just mentioned, that we've had in the past. And that was one of the areas that we got feedback from people like Dan and season ticket holders that have said to us, geez, you know, it's tough getting out of here sometimes. Yeah. You get pinched at the gates, and can't you open up more gates? And, you know, at the time we had turnstiles, you couldn't really do that. And, you know, you'd have these little turnstiles to walk out just for thousands of people, and it just didn't work great. But now, yeah, it's going to make a big difference. People leaving the stadium quicker, safer, more comfortably, and that ultimately helps you have less issues.
And I just said this to Steve Tasker a few minutes ago on the show. I sat over there this afternoon, beautiful day, with Mark Honan, chief marketing officer, and I said, "Can you believe this place is 41 years old? I mean, it's amazing what's been done over there."
You know, we keep telling everybody, it's a brand new stadium, especially from the outside. So it is new on the outside. And the inside, it's the Ralph. It's the same place, the same sight lines, the same feel, that electric feeling that fans get. You're still going to have it. And I think it's going to be even more magnified because those scoreboards are gigantic.
Yeah.
And there's three of them now. And you have another ribbon board, plus the ribbon board they already had. Plus, we redid the entire ring wall on the field. And it looks great. So I think, you know, fans are going to be excited before they even kick the ball off and have a play. They're going to be just antsy and ready to go. I mean, I'm ready to go
right
now.
I am too. I can't wait.
Let's start playing.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks for coming in. We'll get you in here during the season a couple times, and because people always have questions for you.
We care. We care about the fans' experience. And we hope that by showing we care, that what we're doing with the stadium, what we've done in the parking lots, that fans will continue to notice that, appreciate it, hopefully, and then things will change for the better.
Yeah.
And we've noticed very, very good changes in fan behavior in the lots. You know, our arrests, our ejections, our incidents are going down. And we really appreciate the fans' feedback on everything we're doing. And whether they agree with everything or not, we'll be happy to let them know why we're doing things. And most of it is because we're trying to make it best for the 100% of the fans, not the 1% or 0.5% of fan that maybe wants their own way.
Thanks, Andy.
So, fun times.
Yep. Andy Major is the Bills' Vice President, Event Operations, Guest Experience. They kick it off at 4:30 tomorrow in the newly renovated Ralph Wilson Stadium. We'll talk more about that when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We covered a lot of territory tonight on the show, our first night back after training camp. Sal Capaccio joined us at 7:15. He's going to be part of the Bills Radio Network broadcast. He's our sideline reporter. And Mark Kelso and I will have the kickoff tomorrow at 4:30. Sal Capaccio will be on the sidelines with us tomorrow. We're really looking forward to that. He'll be with us all season long. We talked with Chris McAllister, former Ravens cornerback, who's been a minority coaching fellow in camp with the Bills all this summer. We talked with Steve Tasker, and just a minute ago, Andy Major, for the Bills guest experience vice president. So a lot going on and a lot more going on tomorrow. I can't wait until that game tomorrow. I believe it's going to be a lot of fun. I think fans are going to love what they see of the new stadium tomorrow. And again, it's not the field. The field area is just going to be fantastic the way it always has been. But with 79-degree temperatures forecast and maybe some clouds, but mostly sunny skies, should be a great place to watch the game and should have a lot of fun there tomorrow. We're really looking forward to it. Pre-game coverage starts at 1 o'clock. It is Independent Health-sponsored Kids Day. The Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming up tomorrow. Again, we'll have the coverage with Mark Kelso in the booth and Sal Capaccio down on the field starting at 1 o'clock pregame, 4:30 kickoff on most of these stations. So we're back in Orchard Park. Training camp is over, and by the time we return here next Monday night, we will be firmly entrenched in our Orchard Park studio, One Bills Drive studio. So we look forward to that. That's when we'll be on the air with this show, or on the air tomorrow, as we said, with the broadcast of the Bills and the Bucks. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. TJ Luckman, our engineer, our producer, Jay Harris, and the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. Back on the air Monday night with the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.